This morning's message comes from two portions of Scripture which are related. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we read, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And then in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22, we read this, "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to.'" Now our Lord said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Strive is the way the King James puts it. The Greek word is where we get our word agonize, and was used with regard to athletic contests as men would agonize and strain in order to reach the goal. And so our Lord said, make every effort, strive, agonize to enter through the narrow door, or as the King James puts it, the straight gate. Now, our Lord made this statement in response to a question. Someone asked him, are only a few people going to be saved? Now, this is an interesting question, and I wish I had the answer to it. The Scriptures are not clear on this matter as to whether in the end there shall be more saved than lost. We have Scriptures that tell us there will be a multitude no one can number. And then we also have Scriptures that tell us that many are called, but few are chosen. So we don't know exactly what to say about this. Now, our Lord's answer didn't really deal with the question directly, but this man's question did tell us something about the fella that asked it. It shows us that he knew we were in need of salvation. He says, shall only a few be saved? He recognized everybody needed to be saved. The question is, how many shall be saved? So he was already way ahead of the curve with a lot of the people of his day. Secondly, he understood that salvation was of the Lord. He asked the Lord the question. He went to the source of salvation to find out this information about salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of the will of man. It's not of the power of man. As it says in Romans chapter 9, it's not of him that wills or of him that works, but rather it's of God that shows mercy. This man's understanding is further revealed in the fact that he knew that this salvation was for a chosen or predetermined people. He says, shall many be saved? Now, that question would make no sense at all were it not already determined how many will be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come here in an attempt to save everyone. God never intended to save everyone in the world. He came for a chosen people. And the man who asked this question is also shown to be wise in this, that he realized that not only do we need salvation, not only was salvation of the Lord, and not only did he understand that salvation was for a chosen or predetermined people, he also realized that the Lord knew that number. He knew those people. As it is written, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. But you know, as interesting as this question is, and as much wisdom as it revealed on the part of the man who asked the question, our Lord did not answer his question directly. In fact, he kind of dismissed it as irrelevant. The answer that the Lord gave, the gist of it is this, whether salvation be for many or for few, you be sure that you are one of them. You know, we may be very theologically wise and yet very spiritually foolish. We may be full of an understanding of theology and yet not be wise unto salvation, because we seek answers to theological points without ourselves taking action on the truth. Our Lord said as much as to this man that it doesn't matter whether it shall be a few or it shall be many. You strive to enter in. You see, even as I preach now, some of you may be listening merely to see if I'll preach true doctrine. I intend to do so, and I pray by the grace of God that I will. But here's the important question for you. Have you entered in this narrow gate? Don't bother your minds over whether others are, whether they be few or many. The question comes to you. Do you strive to enter in by that straight gate? Why else would anybody ask whether there were many or few to be saved, were it not for this? that they figure if there's a lot of people going to be saved, they have a better chance of salvation than if a few shall be saved. But you know, salvation's not by chance. God has already determined salvation. But you and I don't live in that timeless eternity where God determines all things. We live in time and space. And to us is given this responsibility, this command, strive to enter by the straight gate. The Lord shows us that our hope of salvation does not lie in whether there be few or many that shall be saved, but our hope lies in who it is that does the saving. And the word to us is to take that sure and certain way, though it be narrow, take the sure and certain way to God's salvation. Now let's look at 5 points about entering the kingdom of God through the straight gate, the narrow door. The first point is this: there is an entering. Now what do I mean by that? I mean this: if a person is ever to be in the kingdom of God, there must come a time in his life when he actually enters it. You see, we are not born into the kingdom of God. We come into this world how? As sinners. We come into this world as outcasts. We come into this world as those who are dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in the world. That's how we come in. And you know, there's nothing that anybody else can do to put you in the kingdom of God. Your church can't put you in the kingdom of God. Your church is not the kingdom of God. Nobody's church is the kingdom of God. So the church can't put you in. Your parents can't put you in. You know, some people seem to think that if they're born into a Christian family, they're somehow already at least halfway in the kingdom, or at least got some little advantage in getting in the kingdom. That's got nothing to do with it. They may sprinkle water on your forehead. They may dip you completely under the water. They may do all kinds of things to you, but none of those things will cause you to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, our Lord addressed these people and He said to them that they must enter in. They must strive to enter in, and so must you. It must be something that you do in your lifetime. It's not something that someone else does for you. There is a time when a person passes from death to life, from darkness to light, from being outside the kingdom to being inside the kingdom. As the scriptures say, let us go forth outside the camp unto Christ. And for everyone who's ever in Christ, for everyone who's ever in the kingdom of God, there is a time when they actually, and with purpose of mind and heart, enter the kingdom, lay hold of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but I don't want to make too little of it either. I know that some think that you have to be able to pinpoint the specific time when this happened. It isn't necessary that you know when it happened. It's only necessary that it happened. Have you entered the kingdom of God? Some people say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. That's too long. You can't be a Christian all your life. You'd have to be born a Christian, and nobody's born a Christian. Well, I've loved God all my life. No, you haven't. Nobody's loved God all their life. We are born as enemies of God. There must come a time when a change is made. Have you entered the kingdom of God? Or have you just always been in church? You were born in the church and you were raised in the church, and when you turned the right age, you made a profession of faith in the church and everybody thinks everything's okay. Strive to enter in by the narrow gate. The second point is this, that this narrow gate is Christ alone. Now everyone knows, that is, everybody that claims to be a Christian knows that Christ is necessary for salvation. But here's the point. Christ alone, that's all that's necessary. Christ is sufficient. Everything you need in order to get to God, everything you need in order to be a part of His kingdom, is given in Christ Jesus. This is the hard part of the gospel. This is why we must strive. We'll see that in just a second. But here's the striving, that it's Christ alone. People want it to be Christ plus their church, Christ plus their works, Christ plus their ceremonies, Christ plus taking the Lord's table, Christ plus getting baptized, Christ plus going to church, all these kind of things. Christ plus is the broad road that leads to destruction. Christ alone is the narrow road. You see, in order to get in the kingdom of God, you must go through a gate that is so narrow that only you can go through. You can't go through with your parents. You can't go through with your church. You can't even go clothed in your own righteousness. The gate's so narrow, the only thing that can get through is a naked sinner. Have you ever come to God with nothing to offer? That's coming to God by Christ alone. Thirdly, we strive to enter the gate because it is Christ alone. There's where the strife is. It is so hard to deny our own righteousness. It is so hard to give up everything for the sake of Christ. And by that I mean give up everything for the sake of having Christ. Paul says, I tell you that if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. What did he mean by that? Well, there were people saying that you had to be circumcised. You had to add circumcision to trusting Christ in order to be saved. And he says, if you be circumcised, Christ is nothing. And you know, if you add anything to Christ, you make him without value to you. You make him useless to you. It shall be Christ alone or not Christ at all. And that's the hard part. That's why there's such a striving within our own souls, because we always want to bring something in addition. Something of our own. Something we did or something that somebody did for us. But beloved, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, we must do so by Christ alone. And also, we must strive in order to enter through that straight gate, because quite often, it'll cost us everything we have in this world. You know, salvation, we have it without paying anything to God, but the world may extract a horrible price from you for trusting Christ alone. Family might leave you. Business partners might leave you. If you're a businessman, you might lose customers over this, but that'll be all right. If you gain Christ, you gain everything. So strive to enter by that narrow gate. Here's the fourth point, that the way is as narrow as the door, for the door and the way are the same. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin with Christ, and our whole way to the presence of God is by Christ. Walking the way involves as much strife and agony as entering through the gate. Now, the word used to describe the narrowness of the way means trouble, tribulation. It's the same word Paul used when he said in Acts chapter 14, we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom. And that's true, friends. You go through that straight gate, Christ alone, and you're on that narrow road, which is Christ alone, and it's going to be trouble. This world is no friend of Christ, and it'll be no friend of those who love Christ. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so this way, be prepared that it be difficult. You say, I thought it was going to be easy to believe. No. Many of the preachers on television that have you believe that that's the way it is, they're religious hucksters who are making money off of making people think they can believe God and have this prosperous life in this world. No, it's not likely. The way is difficult. The way is full of trouble and trial and tribulation. Nonetheless, the way takes you into the presence of God without fault and with great joy. And then lastly, there is help. I wouldn't have you think that you have to walk this way alone. Rather, the Scriptures tell us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that's the narrow way, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Listen to those that preach the gospel. God sends them to help you. Listen to those who tell you about the grace of God in Christ and Christ alone. And don't listen to the others who are always telling you what you must do. Listen to those who will tell you what great things God has done. And then in verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 30, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Those who go through the straight gate will find that they have God within them to direct them on the narrow way, to keep them there, that they not fall away. God give you grace to enter in, to strive to enter in by the narrow gate. The Lord bless you.